Hello, church. Hello, church. Oh, that's better. So, my name is Matt, and I married a Bundy girl called Kylie, who is the daughter of Les and Leanne. And I'm in town this weekend for a family reunion and a 90th birthday party for Kylie's... thank you for the clicker. Thanks. For Kylie's grandfather. Now, the sermon I'm preaching today is actually an older sermon. And the very first time I preached it was actually a week after Kylie and I had been dating. And I was preaching at Red Hill Church, which is my home church in Brisbane. And lo and behold, on the day, my future in-laws were just coming to visit randomly. And Kylie hadn't told them that she had a boyfriend or anything. So before I even had a chance to meet my in-laws, I had to preach to them. So I feel as though if I can get through that, then I should be able to tell it to you guys today as well. So I'm from Red Hill Church down in Brisbane. I'm just going to do a little promote for that. So it's a lovely little country church. It holds about 50 people, and it's smack bang in the middle of the city. But you'd think, when looking at the building, it should be out in a paddock somewhere. So if any of you country folk down in Brisbane, I would invite you to come to Red Hill, and we'd love to have you. Let's start off with a prayer, though, just if you'd like to bow your heads. Dear God, thanks that we can all be here at church today and worshipping you. I just pray as I preach today that my words are your words and that everyone here in the congregation gains something from it and comes closer to you. Amen. Alrighty. So, the title of my sermon today is Trust and Obey Like a Sheepdog. Is anyone here a sheep farmer? No? Not many sheep in Bundaberg, I know. More cattle and small crops and sweet potatoes and all that kind of thing. Has anyone here ever been to a sheep farm or seen a sheep on a farm? Raise your hand. Yeah, right, a few more. Has anyone here ever been to a sheepdog trial, like at the country show? Yeah? Alrighty. So I've got a video here for those of you who don't know what a sheepdog trial is. And what it is essentially a test where all the handlers and their dogs will get together at the competition, and the sheepdog has to go round up some sheep, and they have to then run the sheep through a series of obstacles such as gates and pens and up over little bridges or whatever it might be. So I've just got a very short video, and while we're watching this video, hopefully there's some audio. No, there's no audio at all. Oh, that's a challenge. I'll commentate it then a little bit. So what you'll normally be hearing in the background now, so this dog's been cast out, so its handler's where the camera is, and the dog's been told to go up to the paddock and get the sheep. And what you'd be hearing now is a heap of whistling. All these random different pitches of whistles, okay? And every time the dog hears a different whistle, it'll turn a different direction. And that's the handler telling the dog where to go and what to do with the sheep. Now, the dog kind of has an idea what to do. He kind of knows he needs to round them up, but he might not know exactly which course to take. He might not know, oh, the sheep have to go through that gate or they need to go into that pen. He just wants to round them up. So the handler, so this whole video is just... They just little whistles the whole time, all right? But it's not like a bird sound like that. It's this high pitch kind of all this kind of stuff. I can't do it. What you'd normally be seeing is you'd be seeing, hearing a whistle and then the dog would change direction. And you hear another whistle and the dog would change direction. You hear a whistle and the dog will stop. Hear another whistle and the dog will go. All right? So I want you to pretend that's what you're hearing. And this isn't the whole trial. A normal trial might go for anywhere 5, 10, 15 minutes, depending on how good the dog is and how big the trial is. So this is just a little excerpt. But in the end, the sheepdog will bring the sheep back to its master, back to its handler. And they will then put the sheep into a little cage. Alrighty, I've now got a story for you about sheepdogs. And this story is about a sheepdog called Sailor. Now, some of you might have heard this story before because my father-in-law thought it was a good story and pinched it for a children's story here. So if you did, you're just going to have to forget that, okay? But it is a great story. Ben had spent all his life in the bush, mostly as a station hand, sometimes as a drover. He had wandered about central Queensland and western New South Wales, never staying long in one place. At 75 years of age, he was a bachelor, in good health, a teetotaler, a non-smoker, and had spent the last 3 years as a station hand on a Burren station near Wilcannia. A pillar of honesty who worked hard from dawn to dusk, he was an excellent sheepman who kept to himself. His sole companion was an 8-year-old red kelpie called Sailor. Now, I don't know if the picture on the screen is of Sailor, but that is of a reddish kelpie. A keen lover of dogs, Ben had acquired Sailor as a 7-week-old pup for 5 shillings from a passing traveller. He'd taken fancy to the pup and thought it a good one. His previous dog had died from distemper. Ben was an expert with dogs and had patiently trained Sailor over the years to become an exceptionally good sheepdog. During this time, they had become inseparable, and Ben had never missed an opportunity to correct or encourage his charge. The results had been amazing. The dog understood everything Ben said. Sailor bedded down every night in the shearer's quarters alongside Ben, some distance from the homestead. It was common for Ben to chat away to Sailor for hours on end. They were truly great companions. Of all the dogs that he had owned, Ben knew that he had an extra soft spot for Sailor, though he never let it on. Wherever he went, his 4-footed friend was always within scent distance. Ben's boss knew them both well and considered them worth 3 men. When a job had to be done, these two could be relied on. On Sunday, he remarked casually to Ben, "The sheepdog trials are on at the showground next Saturday. Do you want me to enter you and Sailor when I'm in town today?" Ben, no lover of crowds, hesitated for a moment and then said, "Okay, we'll give it a go." For the rest of the week, Ben gave Sailor a good workout with the sheep whenever the opportunity arose. It was uncanny how they worked. Ben never stopped talking to the dog. It was as if each understood exactly each other's thoughts. The companionship and unity between them was unique. Ben knew Sailor would do well at trials, but they were both slowing up, and when a long trip into town, and even a long trip into town would be an effort for them. So they finally arrived at the Wilcannia Showground. It's a huge showground surrounded by a picket fence, and the ground was crowded, with some competitors coming from over 50 miles away. There were 12 entrants in the sheepdog trial, and Sailor had drawn number 12. Each competitor started with 100 points, the judge deducting points when the dog made an error. The dog and handler started from a common peg, and on a signal from the judge, the dog would be cast out by the handler to the opposite end of the ground where the sheep were standing. The dog had to bring the sheep back to the handler as quickly as possible. It was then he had to take the same sheep through a drafting race and some 200 yards to a small bridge. Finally, it was to drive the sheep another 200 yards and then put them in a pen. The handler then shut the gate to conclude the competition. The maximum time allowed was 15 minutes. Points were deducted for slow work, sheep being off course, dogs overrunning, sheep breaking away from the dog. Ben chose a cool spot on the outskirts of the park so Sailor could rest up a bit away from the crowd as he waited for his turn. Ben and Sailor kept to themselves, Ben nodding occasionally to someone he knew. Most of the other competitors and spectators congregated around the start. Ben knew Sailor would need all the rest he could get if he was to put up a good show, so he was content to watch from a distance. Promptly at 11 a.m, the steward blew his whistle for the first contestant. The crowd was silent and each competitor stood at the starting peg. The first 3 dogs, a mixed breed, were average and scored between 80 and 90 points each. The 4th dog, a huge black and tan kelpie, was very good. He made few errors and his cast was as good as Ben had seen. And Ben guessed correctly when the score went up to 95. "A tough one to beat," he muttered to Sailor, who was still asleep under the trap in the shade. The day wore on. 2 dogs scored 91 and 92, and the others in the 80s. The 9th competitor was Floss, a well-bred 2-year-old border collie with good markings. A good-looking dog, Ben thought, and one he guessed would be difficult to beat. He had heard of the collie's exploits at previous trials. Both he and his handler were well-known and raised murmurs from the crowd when they started. The dog sat upright and willing, a good sign in a trial competitions. A polished performer, Floss thought, brought the sheep straight through the middle of the ground. At the first obstacle, the collie was faultless, putting the sheep through the race perfectly with a maximum score. Ben admired a dog. He was certainly a champion. He had an air of confidence about him, and he reminded Ben of what Sailor had been like some 6 years ago. He looked at Sailor and smiled. When 98 went up on the board, there was a tremendous outbreak of cheering. Ben realised what they were up against. This floss was a good one, better than any he could recall. He roused Sailor just prior to their turn. "You do your best, old boy," he whispered as he walked towards the start. When Ben and Sailor arrived at the peg, a quietness settled on the ground in deference to their age. Sailor, with his white whiskers and muzzle, Ben stooped over slightly, were a direct contrast to the collie, floss and his handler. Sailor sat quietly at the start till three sheep were liberated at the other end of the ground. When they were standing steady, the judge signalled the timekeeper and Ben was given the signal to start. For about 10 seconds, Ben hesitated so that Sailor could get the scent. This was going to be a tough one, Ben knew. Let's pause the story there, eh? Right at the crux of it. We'll get back to it, though. So, just remember, Sailor's at the sheepdog trials. It's about to begin. Now, modern-day sheep farmers, I'm going to say, are similar to the role of a shepherd in the Bible. What's the shepherd's job? Keep the sheep safe, that kind of thing. Yep, look after the sheep. Now, you'll notice from the video we saw before, the sheepdog does not work independently. They are directed by their master, their handler, their shepherd. The shepherd guides them, talks to them, instructs them with signals on where to go and what to do. The dog is obedient and responds. The dog's got an idea of the situation, but the shepherd has the full picture. They've got the plan. He knows where to take the sheep to where they'll be safe. A sheepdog is a shepherd's helper, you could say. Now, we know that Christ is the good shepherd. If you've got your Bibles with you, you're welcome to turn to John chapter 10 and looking at verse 14 to 16. It says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, what's our purpose in the world? Since we've found God, can we just relax and live a good life? As long as we're sorted, that's what counts, right? No? Is it put some more money in the offering? Maybe. Or maybe is it to help the good shepherd to save lost sheep, to win souls for the kingdom? I feel like that's really what our purpose should be. Now, we know from the Bible that we are the lost sheep. Now, I'm going to take on a bit of poetic license here, but if there's lots of lost sheep out there in the world, and Christ is a shepherd, what are we? We're the sheepdogs. We can be sheepdogs. And I'd like to think that maybe if Jesus had seen a sheepdog, maybe he would have told a parable about them. Maybe he would have said, "All you believers, you need to be good sheepdogs and help your shepherds. Help the shepherd. Help the good shepherd." God has a full picture of all the sheep in the world. He knows which ones are lost and are in need of saving. However, sometimes these sheep can be stubborn, and it's not quite as simple as just going out and herding them through the church door. So, of course, as Christians, as sheepdogs, we do our best to minister to these lost sheep. But do we know where all the sheep are that need saving? No, not always. There might be people that we think are saved, maybe aren't saved. There might be people that we think, "Oh, I could never save them." There might be people we never even thought about. Do we know which sheep are ready to come into the fold? No. Sometimes we might have a bit of an idea. We need guidance from our shepherd. We sheepdogs need to listen to him, to be alert and be ready to obey. Now, my grandpa was a sheep farmer, and he had a trained kelpie that could herd the sheep. And they had a farm out at Inverell, about 1,000 acres, and a few thousand head of sheep. And this sheepdog did a great job, well trained, you know, was an absolute asset. Now, they also had two untrained fox terriers, which are house dogs. And on the occasion when they got out and got into the sheep, do you think they were very useful? No, they would just run straight up the middle, barking and chasing them, and just separate the sheep like that. They had no herding instinct, nothing. They had a good hunting instinct. They used to hunt in a pack and take down kangaroos, these two little fox terriers. They were vicious, but not very good sheepdogs. So the properly trained sheepdog, the one that listened to my grandfather's instruction, he was far, far more effective. Now, sheepdogs need directions from the shepherd. They work together in accordance with the good shepherd's plan, not their own. We need to learn to trust that the good shepherd has the ultimate plan to save as many sheep as possible. We need to listen and be obedient to what instructions he gives us. Just like in that video, we need to stay in constant communication with the shepherd. So when you would have been hearing those whistles constantly, shepherd's yelling something out, whistle, there's constantly this communication. It's not just, oh yeah, go have fun. Yeah, but it'll work. You might get the sheep back, but it's going to be a bit clunky. The dog's not going to do exactly what he's told. He doesn't have the full picture. He's got an idea, but can't see everything. So we need to stay in constant communication with our shepherd. Let's now look at the story of Saul, Paul in the Bible. So if you'd like to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles, and you'll learn that Saul came from a devout Jewish family. He was born a Roman citizen in Tarsus in Cilicia in South Turkey. I think this one's got a laser on it. That's kind of there on the right hand side. And he was brought up by Gamaliel, a leading authority in Jewish religious establishment in the Sanhedrin. Now in Philippians 3 verse 5 to 6, we hear from Paul, this is him reflecting later on, he said, yep, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law blameless. So he was the definition of maybe a perfect Jew. He had everything. He had the right blood. He was passionate. And you could say that Paul was brought up in the church. He knew the Jewish religion well. He was a zealot, a Pharisee. Almost, not a zealot, but he was a very zealous Pharisee. Just like many of us too have been brought up in a Christian home. We've gone to an Adventist school. We might have gone to Avondale. But Paul, even with his upbringing, he was misguided. So let's now turn to Acts, and this is where we'll be spending the rest of today's sermon. Acts chapter 9. So the story goes that Saul is on a journey, and he's going around and he's essentially persecuting Christians. He's locking them up. He's finding people that are causing a ruckus, according to the Jews, and he's doing the dirty work. and people are very afraid of him. He can put people in jail. He can have them flogged. He can punish them. He can really destroy your life. And we read in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So let's pause for a moment. He's a devout Jew, a student of the law, and yet when he heard God's voice, what did he respond with? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? What is this? Did he know God's voice? Nope. Would you say he had a relationship with God? We can't be the judge, but from this passage, probably not. Was he listening for God's voice or signals or impressions in his daily life? No. Now, this last bit in the verse here, it says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Anyone know what a goad is? No. So a goad is like a prodder. And it's what a ploughman might use to prod his oxen. And so normally you'd prod your oxen and they'd move forward. Prod them, move forward. Well, a really stubborn ox would kick against the goad. And in that verse it's saying, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. So it's basically you're being really stubborn. Now these days we don't have goads, we've got that kind of thing. So it's basically God saying, I've been there prodding you with this cattle prod. I've been trying to get you in the right direction. And what have you been doing? You've been kicking against it. You've been getting zapped and you've just been completely stubborn, not moving, don't care. So now God's come down in the middle of the road and absolutely hit him with everything. Let's keep reading on from verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now, what happened next? So Saul's in the city, and we now learn about someone called Ananias. And in verse 10, we read, I forgot that verse. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. Not, Who are you, Lord? Here I am, Lord. Note the parallels with Samuel there. I think that's kind of cool. See the difference between these two men. One sees God in a flash of light and is still, Who are you? And the other just sees him in a vision and goes, Here I am. What do you want me to do? So the Lord said to him, now in verse 11, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your servants in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call his name. But the Lord said to him, Sorry, not that slide yet. The Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, what did Ananias do? Yep, sure, he questioned his shepherd initially. He's like, are you sure? But then he obeyed. And he got up and he went on his way. And he entered the house, laying his hands on him in verse 17, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So even though that Ananias didn't fully understand the good shepherd's plan, he was still obedient. In fact, Ananias was fearing for his life. He probably still knew in the back of his head, hey, if I go down there and see this Paul fellow, this could be a trap. I'm going to be going in there and admitting, hey, I'm a Christian. Mate, that's a recipe for me to get arrested. I could be losing everything here. So this just wasn't Ananias walking in there going, oh, well, look, yeah, I'll pray over him. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. No, this was a great personal risk for him. He could have even been fearing for his life, and yet he still trusted and obeyed. If you were in that situation, would you do the same? If God appeared to you in a vision and said, go and see this person who's very dangerous, who might arrest you, might beat you, might kill you, would you do it? Could you trust the direction of the Good Shepherd above all else? Let's now finish the story. So we've got Sailor at the sheepdog trials. They've walked up to the start. For about 10 seconds, Ben hesitated so Sailor could get the scent. This was going to be a tough one, Ben knew. Suddenly there was a change in Sailor. He sat upright, listening with his ear back in an antenna fashion. Ben cast him out. Go way back, boy. Sailor, sensing that he had to do well, was off like a flash, and Ben, because of the obstacles, used a shrill whistle to guide him. It was a perfectly shaped cast and came up smartly behind the sheep, and on Ben's whistle halted directly behind them. Sailor, as if by telepathy, delivered the sheep without fault in a straight line down the centre of the field. He was precise and neat, handling them quietly but with assurance. Never for a second did he give them the opportunity to be contrary. He was indeed master of the situation, and Ben knew Sailor had gained the maximum points for his effort. Now Ben's hands began to sweat. Though excited, he kept a poker face. Next, Ben led the way around the fence with the three sheep behind him and Sailor taking up the rear. On reaching the drafting race, Ben stepped into the car tyre placed on the field for the handler, who has to stay there till the sheep are put through the race by the dog. Until now, Sailor had not made a mistake. But just as the last sheep was about to go through the race, he veered a fraction to the right. It was only for a second, but Ben knew that he had lost vital points. From the time Sailor left the starting pen, Peg, Ben had talked to him constantly, giving him encouragement, commands, and trying to keep one guess ahead of his dog. After the race, it was 200 yards to the next obstacle, the bridge. Ben encouraged Sailor by talking to him reassuringly. Again, he could not fault his dog's effort. Once more, he realized they'd gained maximum points. He was at work on the sheep immediately, as the last one left the bridge. With the final obstacle, the pen, some 200 yards ahead, Ben told Sailor, good boy. There was, unknown to Ben, whose full concentration was on his dog, a silence around as everyone sensed the closeness of the scores. Go back, go way four, go back. Sailor appeared to be on a string. Everything Ben said, the dog did. With the three sheep close to the pen, and Sailor glued with his nose, twitching in front of them, one paw raised as if to pounce, excitement reached its peak. Two sheep raced into the pen with a slight movement from Sailor. One to go. Suddenly, for no apparent reason, the remaining sheep ducked out of the edge of the wing. Sailor had them back in the pen in almost the same instant, but Ben knew as he moved to close the pen that he had lost another point. The crowd cheered, and everyone except Ben and Sailor seemed to go mad. Ben returned slowly to his trap and quietly fondled Sailor's ear. "You were close, boy. It was a fine effort." When the score of 97 was marked up, a ripple again went through the crowd. Floss, the young border collie with the young trainer, had won by just one point on a score of 98. No one had dreamed that any other dog would come near to Floss's score. However, Ben's experience told him the younger dog had deserved to win. So he tried not to let Sailor sense his disappointment. Floss's owner, knowing how close the result had been, finally broke away from his friends and walked over to congratulate Ben on the fine performance Sailor had put up. He too recognised a good dog when he saw one. He was there some minutes with Ben. When he returned to his friends, he had a worried look and seemed lost for words. One of his friends joked, "What's the matter, Alf? Anyone think you'd lost?" He didn't reply for some time. When he did, his voice shook. He said, "You saw how that old Kelpie worked those sheep so close, always listening. Do you know that he's been totally blind for 2 years?" So I hope that we can all strive to be like Sailor, to develop such a relationship with our master, the Good Shepherd, that we too can be obedient. We can trust and obey even in these tough times, in tough situations. We have to learn to trust his plan. We can see parts of it, but we don't have the full picture. So I pray today that we too will be good sheepdogs and bring many lost sheep to the kingdom. If you'd like to stand shortly and sing our last song, Trust and Obey. If you'd like to bow your heads in prayer. Dear God, I just thank you that we can be here today on this Sabbath day. I just pray that we can all learn to listen to your still small voice a little more, to grow closer to you and listen to the messages and the impressions that you give us in our everyday lives. Lord, help us to be able to trust in your plan and for us to be able to bring people to the kingdom, people who are lost. Lord, please look after us this week as we go about our daily lives. Please keep us safe. And we just thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Amen.